This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Open for business on BFM 89.9.
Good morning, this is Frida Liu. You're listening to Enterprise. Now, thousands of businesses have been wiped out and several hundred thousand people lost their jobs as the economic devastation plays itself out locally and globally post-MCO and post-COVID-19. For businesses that survive and starting to build momentum again, it is time to put in their foundation to begin thriving. We've got Jeevan Sahadevan here from Leverage Lab, and he'll be taking us through 21 strategic questions to think sharper and deeper in three areas: your customers, your products, and your competition as you begin your thriving process. So this topic is 21 high-level strategic questions to thrive in this post-COVID era. And Jeevan Sahadevan from Leverage Lab joins us the first Monday of every month. And yes, it is August already. So I understand you'll be framing your 21 questions around three specific areas. Can you tell us why these three areas and how this specifically leads to thriving in business?
The process of thriving involves some very different kinds of thinking from survival. So to help businesses out there, what I've done is I'm focusing on three very critical areas, the three main areas. Of course, there are many other areas you can also look at, but these are at the very heart of thriving, which is your customers, the products that you actually offer into the marketplace. By products, I also mean services. And of course, the competition. These are the three things that you want to tackle. So to help people with this, I've actually created these 21 questions. So there'll be 7 questions per area. And it'll be good for businesses to actually have board meetings or even department or team meetings around these questions and answer them as deeply as you can.
So basically, this is a framework that you've developed right now. Before we get into that as well, many businesses have had to pivot and sell products and services that they don't normally sell. Can you tell us how businesses can do this very well, especially those that are cash flow negative?
This is, for an example, could be, say, a restaurant, for instance. During the movement control order, they've had to pivot by offering delivery services and all sorts of stuff. And now, even though the doors are opening everywhere, these businesses still have to pivot, still have to offer products, services, that they haven't initially been offering. So how can they do that if they're cash strapped and they're struggling to be able to do this? So one of the keys would be alliances, to form alliances with other companies, alliances with other services, businesses, I mean, and working around those things. So we will be addressing that actually in the three areas that I mentioned.
Okay.
We'll be addressing that as well. So the important thing to realize is when your head gets clear about customers, about the products, and about competition, everything starts getting a lot easier. So that's what we're going to do. So the questions are centered around assessing a business's current state as well as the questions that determine the future direction of the business. So I've worded it such that we're looking at current state and future state as well.
Right. We'll get started with the questions.
So we're A, B, and C. So section A would be customers. So 7 questions for customers. Look at the first one. So of course, the first question is a point blank question. It's a very obvious one. Who are our current customers? So here, when you answer this question, what the business has got to do is start to break down who are our current customers in terms of markets, size of market, size of businesses, size of population. So start to identify who exactly are our current customers. There may be different segments. You want to break them up. So who are our customers? Are we dealing, say, for instance, if it's B2C, so are we dealing with mostly students? The students are our market. Then you want to break it up. We've got students in, say, Klang Valley. Then the students we deal in Penang, in Johor. So who are our current customers? You make a list. Make a list of all the target markets that you're currently servicing, the chunks of target markets that you currently serve. So that's the first question. You break it all down. You're mapping out your customers. So that's the first question, because all the other questions are going to be related to this one. So the first one, who are our current customers? You're looking at all the target markets. Question two, who are our most and least profitable customers? So now you're looking at each of those segments. So for instance, you may turn around and say, okay, you know what? Our customers in this segment A, they're the least profitable customers, and we could be wasting a lot of time on these customers, and we're spending a lot of effort on this, whereas segment B and C are very profitable segments. And segment D could be something that is on a lower profit, but also profitable. And you're starting to break it up like that now. Who are our most and least profitable customers? Now, you want to know this because of the next few questions that are coming in. So you want to know which customers are the most profitable ones. A simple example I can give you, say, a restaurant. Now, if you're a restaurant and I ask this question, I say, well, what sort of customers are your most profitable? And when you think about it, you go, you know what? It would be families. People who come in with families and children, these are actually our most profitable customers. Then I'd ask the question, how much of your products that you serve in this restaurant are actually targeted to families?
Right.
Do you have a kids menu?
So
most cases they say, no, we don't. So you see, these are things that they haven't really thought about because they were looking at table size. So say, okay, most profitable are those who take come in, say groups that come in, but they haven't defined it as families could be one. And then you can go even further. You could say Malay families or Chinese families or Indian families. So that's going even further now. And then wow. So I say, look, if your customers, I say 70% Malay, now then you want to take a look at the menu. Is that addressing that target segment?
Right.
Or if it's 70% Indian or Chinese. So these questions are very, very powerful as you start going very deep. So in the first question, you look at who are our current customers. The second question, who are our most and least profitable customers?
What,
that's the second question.
Yeah, so and what do you do with the least profitable customers? How do you get rid of them?
Sell them to your competitors.
Okay, so
here's the thing. So the least profitable, you may notice, is there could be certain segments that are coming in and they don't really spend much, and you've been advertising and spending ad budget money on those segments. You want to stop spending money in those areas. So I mean, if, of course, first you look at, can I do something with the segment and maybe change some of what I'm offering so that they can buy? Mm. Or should I just dismiss with the segment? But at least now you know who they are.
More clarity. Yeah.
True. Correct. So your prioritization starts to kick in, which then brings to question three, which customer segments are growing? COVID has changed everything up to a point, including the kind of customers now coming to business. You may notice suddenly there's a growing customer base now that you never looked at before. And this could be interesting. Let's say you're a second-hand car dealership. Mm. You sell all kinds of cars from Wildfires to BMWs, Mercedes, all sorts of stuff. And then you notice one of the growing segments is actually people coming in and buying Myvees. And you're like, hey, we never really targeted this group, but there seems to be quite a few people coming in. They must have sold their cars and they're now buying Myvees or Honda Cities or Toyota Vios when you were focusing on the Wildfire before this. So that's a growing market. So you want to know which customer segments are growing. And again, you can divide your segment into any kind of parameter that you want. You could be looking at gender. You can be looking at businesses. You can be looking at revenue size of companies that deal with you, whatever segment that you want to base it on. Then comes question four. Which customer segments are declining? So you see the ones that are growing. Now you're looking at the ones that are declining. And these ones, are either they're declining simply because they're dying out or because they're moving on to different industries or to your competitors. But they're declining. So you want to know which customer segments are declining. Then comes question five. What are the new segments to consider? Now, these are new segments you never even targeted. Maybe government. You want to target government now. And you never thought about government. Maybe you want to specifically target politicians or, you know, MPs. You never know. So which are the new segments that you want to target? Because, once again, you may never have thought about this. Like, if you're a restaurant and you were heavily focused on giving customers an incredible experience at your restaurant, and suddenly you offered, say, frozen foods during the MCO, you realize, hey, look, this could be a segment that I really want to start to consider because there was a lot of sales, and you might want to put some resources around it. So what are the new segments to consider? So that's question five. Then comes question six. Which segments will we de-emphasize?
Okay.
So now here's where you start to stop spending a lot of resources in these segments. So which segments will we de-emphasize? And you see all the big boys, they do this all the time. Like Apple, you know, they start de-emphasizing all their older phones. So even though there are lots of people with the iPhone 4, I mean, shocking, yeah, people still do have that. iPhone 4, iPhone 5, the iPhone 6. But Apple starts de-emphasizing those segments. And eventually, if you say you bought an iPad, and you never used it and for say, I don't know, 10 years or something, you've never used this iPad, then it's most likely you won't be able to use it if you haven't updated the software.
Right.
So de-emphasizing segments, which segments you want to de-emphasize. And the final question in this area, number seven, is a bit of a long question. Which industries or companies can we form alliances with? So now you want to think, here's why you want to do that, because you want to leverage on the rapport that other people have with their customers. So you may have no rapport with certain segments of customers, but another business does. and you want to leverage on that rapport. So for instance, you're a ladies-only beauty salon, and you want to target a certain group of women that you see the hair salon friend of yours has a huge database of that target of women. And you can leverage on that. So you can form an alliance with the hair salon and offer free facials to their entire database. And overnight, you bring a huge segment of customers to your business. So when you form alliances, you want to form alliances with businesses that target same target markets as you do or similar or markets you want to target, but they don't compete with you.
Right.
So you want to form alliance. So you want to open up your mind. So you see, don't just look at customers that you can personally in your and your business can personally get out there and secure, but look at customers that other businesses have already secured and are doing very well with these groups, and you can form alliances with them and share that base. Hmm. You can share those customers. And so these seven questions get you really thinking very deeply about customers. Because you see, you've got to understand this. Business is all about acquiring and retaining customers. That's all it is. In other words, I put it in layman terms, business is all about capturing and keeping customers. That's
right.
It.
Okay. And we'll look at the questions around products and competition after this with Jeevan Sadevan from Leverage Lab. Stay tuned. BFM 89.9.
Breaking Financial Matters. BFM 89.9.
This is Enterprise. Good morning. I'm Frida Liu, speaking to Jeevan Sadevan from Leverage Lab, who joins us the first Monday of every month. Yes, it's already August. We're going through the 21 questions to help you strive, 21 high-level strategic questions to strive in this post-COVID era. And it's centered around customers, products, and competition. We've gone through seven questions with customers. We're going through with products now. So what are the seven questions, Jeevan?
By products, of course, I mean services as well.
Mm-hmm.
So think very deeply about the products and services. So number one, which products are most profitable? Some companies, they offer huge ranges. So you can imagine all sorts. So when you look at the most profitable, you want to look at groups or clusters of products, or it could be individual products. So which products are most profitable? And everything out there that you're offering, what's most profitable? And look at, you've got to take a look at margins. You've got to take a look at ease of sale, how easily you can actually sell it, how profitably you're actually selling it. All these things actually count. So if you were to look at it, if you were to just map out all your products and services that you offer, which ones are most profitable? Then, of course, the second question, which products are least profitable? Right. So which are the ones that are most profitable? Which are the ones that are least profitable? Then you go into the third question, which products are growing in demand? Now, these may not necessarily be the most profitable to you simply because you may not have secured them at good rates with your suppliers, or you're not producing them in a very profitable manner, but they are growing in demand and you want to start to pay attention to that. Right. Because post-COVID, a lot of different things may start to grow in demand. And you really want to start paying attention to this. And you go, oh, this is interesting.
Right.
These products are growing in demand, but we're not doing very much about it.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to pay attention because this can get bigger and bigger down the road. So you want to pay attention to that. Question four, which products are declining or slowing down? Now, again, they will only be declining or slowing down for two reasons. One, it's because of the market. The market is just stop buying this, like, you know, if you're buying CDs, you're selling CDs or records, so that's just declining, slowing down, you're just going to be out of it. So that's one, because of the market. Or two, because of your marketing. So maybe you're not marketing enough to those areas, to those segments, hence you haven't been closing sales in those products and it's declining. So it's one of those two reasons and you need to take an honest approach at that. So that's what question four is doing. Question five, what new products should we consider? Now, here's where, again, we're on the thinking caps and start opening your mind up. What new products should we consider or services should we consider? And this is something that a lot of businesses don't often think about because they're too busy salvaging their current existing products and services and what they offer the market. They're not looking at new.
Right.
So what new products should we consider? Again, this could be anything. It could be products that you could personally, your business can go out there and secure, or it could be selling another business's products and services. I mean, let's just take something as simple as masks, these three-ply masks that everyone's buying.
Right.
That was not such a huge hit as it is now.
Right.
And now you've got all kinds of stuff. You've got all the cloth-based, cotton-based, you've got all sorts. Yeah, and you've got designs, you've got colors, you've got, I mean, this is just such a huge range, something that no one really paid much attention to previously other than medical communities. And suddenly now it's a huge thing. It's becoming a very big business.
Mm-hmm.
So that's an example of which what new products are actually emerging out there. So let's look further. So the first question was, which products are most profitable? Second question, which products are least profitable? Third question, which products are growing in demand? Fourth question, which products are declining or slowing down? And fifth question, what new products should we consider? Then comes the sixth question, which products will we de-emphasize? So again, as a business, if you really want to thrive, you've got to allocate your resources in the correct areas. And you don't want to be allocating resources to products that you shouldn't be allocating resources to. You want to de-emphasize those products and either let them die a slow death, or you just don't channel a lot of resources that way. So which are the products that we are going to de-emphasize? And finally, the last question, what will be our core products moving forward? So moving forward, what will be our core products? That means you're going to put in all your resources here, most of it. So what's that going to be? What's going to be your core products moving forward? Looking at the market, looking at the way things are, looking at everything around you, what's it going to be? So again, these things are not standalone. So as you talk about customers, the products have to gel with that as well. So the conversation has to go along with the customer conversation as well. So these seven questions get you thinking deeply about your product. And now we go to the most exciting one, which is competition. So competition, seven questions. Question number one, who do we consider to be our competitors? So keep this in mind. You will only ever rise as high as your highest competitor, your highest competition. So they always set some sort of a bar, some sort of a benchmark for you to compare yourself against. So they're taking a chunk of your market as well. Now, that's also psychological reason for this, not just a business reason, but let me answer that one with the second question. Who should be our competitors? This one has a huge psychological component. Let me explain. So I'll tell you a story. So years ago, in the US, that's, of course, everyone knows Disneyland, and it's a place that everybody wants to go, but there's another place a lot like Disneyland called Magic Mountain. Have you heard of Magic Mountain?
I think so.
So not many people know about Magic Mountain, and they've got roller coasters and everything. In fact, the roller coasters there are probably a lot scarier as well. So Magic Mountain often competed with the circuses in town. So, you know, if someone was throwing three hoops, the people at Magic Mountain would try and throw four or five hoops. If someone worked with three lions, they would work with maybe four or five or six lions and that sort of stuff. So the circus in town, I mean, those were their competitors, and the Ferris wheel and the small roller coasters and everything else. So when they got in this new CEO, he came in and he decided to change everything. He started telling everyone, you've got to have these strict team meetings, we've got to have all these weekly meetings, we're going to submit documents, and you've got to wear uniforms, you've got to greet customers according to a script. And so one day he was having this huge meeting with the whole team, and one of the staff actually mouthed off this when the CEO was talking. He said, who do you think we are, Disneyland? And then everyone went silent, and they looked at the CEO and said, okay, this guy's had it now.
Right.
And then the CEO looked at him and said, finally, someone compared us to Disneyland.
Right.
He said, that is what we want. We don't want to be compared to the circus. We want to be compared to Disneyland. We're going head on head with Disneyland. So if you're opening a ride-sharing business, you want to be compared to Grab. You see, if you're working on the food industry, you want to be compared to Foodpanda.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what you want. You want customers to be making that mental, psychological decision. So that's question two. Question three, how do they compete?
Right.
So how do those businesses actually compete, the businesses that you want to be compared to? What are the processes and methods and strategies that they have in place? Question four, what do they do best? So in each of these companies, they do a lot. Different companies could be doing different things at their best. And it could be customer servicing. They're the best at that. It could be the best at innovations. They innovate very quickly. Or they could be the best at brand building, whatever that may be.
Right.
The next question, number five, how do we compare? And number six, how will we position ourselves in ways that matter to our market? Because this is one of the challenges. People often like to sell what they like to sell, not necessarily what the market wants to buy. If you have a business in a mall and this mall, there's a certain kind of group of people and markets that come to this mall, you may want to target your products and services based on that. And the last question, 7, who are emerging competitors and potential threats? Of course, by looking at the 7 questions, you also want to look at what is some uncontested market space out there. You want to explore some of that. As you answer these 7 questions on competition, you also want to pay some attention to uncontested market space, or in other words, blue oceans out there that are not even being targeted, not even being looked at. And of course, those would come into the conversation to these 7 areas that you're talking about.
Right.
Because there could be areas where no one's even looking at. And just like grab was a blue ocean in this country.
Mm.
And so you want to start looking at it. So what's happening now is simply this. These 3 areas are actually where the beginning of your thriving strategy should be formulated.
Right.
So you want to get your brain focused on customers, products and competition. I started everybody off here with just 7 questions. Of course, you could go deeper. You can go as deep as you can.
Right.
But this is a good start. It's a good start for a discussion. It's a good start for a team meeting. And it's a good start to get you thinking about thriving again and not just surviving. Every business out there is just thinking of surviving at the moment.
Right.
It's time to thrive.
You know, Jim, I have to ask a question, right? You know, like, do things like politics affect businesses, though, you know, the direction of your business?
I think in Malaysia, we have such colourful politics, don't we?
Mm-hmm.
So, well, actually, here's the thing. So when you look at politics, the most important thing to look at is what does the government offer our businesses at the moment? So, for instance, in Malaysia, when the whole COVID thing struck, one of the best things that the government did for businesses and individuals is the loan moratorium. So that gave people some oxygen. You know, 6 months, you don't need to pay for your loans. And so that you take advantage of that. Now, of course, not paying for your loans for 6 months doesn't mean you go on a holiday and, you know, just blow that money which you would have spent on the loans. No, but the oxygen you've got. So what you could do with that breathing space is use that money for marketing, for innovation, for things like that. So you want to take advantage of whatever the government is offering to help businesses. You want to take advantage. So politically, right, whatever, every country you find, they're offering different things. So you want to find out whatever the government's offering. However, I would say this, consider that a bonus. Don't just be waiting for something for a handout from the government or something like that. Just consider whatever the government offers as a bonus. Make full use of it. Try and utilize it in your business. But again, it's a bonus. You know, you want to really be working on and standing on your own 2 feet and getting your shoulders carrying these three areas very, very well. So businesses got to sit down. They've got to plan. They've got to look at customers. Go as deep as you can by getting these questions as a head start. And then you go into your products and then go as deep as you can and then go into your competition. From here, you can formulate a brilliant strategy to move forward. And as you answer all these questions, a lot of light bulbs will go off and you'll be able to formulate some absolutely brilliant strategies. And then, boom, you'll start thriving again. So focus on thriving.
Right.
And that's the key from August onwards.
All right. Thanks for being with us again, Jeevan Asahadevan from Leverage Lab. 21 questions, you know, so more to ponder on for the rest of the month. And of course, he will join us again the first Monday of next month. You've been listening to Enterprise. I'm Frida Liu, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.